Welcome to Spark Plug, where we talk to smart people working at the intersection of business and technology. Brought to you by Snowshoe, your smarter loyalty leader.
Spark Plug is excited to welcome Jennifer Nolfi to our program today. Jennifer is the Executive Director at the Center for Retail Leadership, a program within Portland State University's Business School, where students and industry professionals rewrite the story of retail. And prior to joining PSU, she served as the Director for Partnership Development at LoopTeeWorks, a design firm that uses excess premium materials to craft limited edition clothing and accessories. So she knows retail, she knows supply chain, and she counts among her key accomplishments spearheading a public-private research partnership that culminated in the first comprehensive market study of the athletic and outdoor industry. So welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you. It's an honor to be here, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great meeting you, especially since I'm familiar with PSU as well.
The shared connection, absolutely. Yes.
I'd love to start by learning more about PSU's Center for Retail Leadership. You know, how are students and faculty, as you guys say, rewriting the story of retail?
Thanks for that. It's a great question. I think one of the things we've been trying to do with that language is to really encourage students to explore retail. When we did outreach to our students, they thought retail was dead. There were no job opportunities and that it was just checking people out at the store or something like that, cashing people out and just doing transactions. And we've been really working to say there are so many job opportunities in the retail industry. It could be HR, it could be supply chain, it could be inventory, it could be sales. IT, there's so many different ways that you can participate in retail, and it's so changing and dynamic that there are so many opportunities for you to be innovative and lead the future of retail. So that's why we worked with our advisory boards, industry partners, and students to really try and reframe retail to be more positive and aspirational. And so it really is about students. We have certificate programs, so they're a small number of classes that they can add to their degree to go show specialization in the industry that they're passionate about. And we have industry leaders coming into the classroom as instructors and guest speakers. We're bringing real-time case studies. So it's not outdated information. They're working with real-time projects, which also provides value to the companies that they're working with and gives them, project work and a portfolio. So when they go out to job and informational interviews, they can say, hey, I understand this. I worked on this. I understand it. So that's the student piece of it. And then we have faculty doing amazing research too around retail and, organizational development and those types of things.
Right. Well, I'm really curious, what are some of your favorite findings from researchers that have come out in the last few years?
I think, well, one of them is really recent, and it's not directly related to retail, but this further reinforces why retail is so much more encompassing. But one of our professors, Talia Bauer, just published research on the importance of onboarding team members. So, right, like hiring and attracting and retaining talent is a huge issue right now across all industries. And with the disruption that was caused by COVID and people feeling disconnected from those organizations, it becomes even more important is like, how are we onboarding people to make them feel connected and valued and part of the culture? And how are we preparing them to be successful? So that was one. Carlos Mena has been doing some really interesting supply chain research, and he's done work in the retail industry. He talked about the diversifying of supply chains versus concentration, which is something that has been coming about more because of the disruptions in supply chains and people thinking like, oh my gosh, we weren't able to get our raw materials from a certain market because of the disruption. How do we mitigate against that risk? And then Jacob Soar, who recently was promoted to our Associate Dean of Undergraduate Programs, he's done a lot around consumer behavior and impulse buying, which is really like, why are people doing it? What motivates it? Sometimes it's an extrinsic and sometimes an intrinsic value. It's not always the same experience that compels us to buy something. that's not a planned purchase. And then lastly, this was a few years ago, we had a unique partnership with the Outdoor Industry Association, where we would take a student delegation to Outdoor Retailer when it was in Salt Lake and then when it was in Denver. And the students were paid for by a sponsoring brand, so there was no cost to them. They got to staff some of the industry panel sessions, and then I would create customized schedules for them to visit different trade show booths and shadow people. And one of the students who participated on that trade delegation or student delegation, Ethan Cotton, he partnered with Jacob Soar, and they did a whole study on kind of consumer preference for eco-innovation and whether they're willing to vote with their pocketbooks like they say they want to purchase. And they did that report. So that was while he was a student, he was able to do that research, which gave him a huge advantage, right, coming out of school. And we arranged for him to present on a panel with Columbia Sportswear and Now at Outdoor Retailer in front of a whole audience. So that's like another demonstration of hands-on learning, retail, innovation, and really positioning our students for success.
What a great opportunity you gave them. And, you know, Outdoor Retailers has so many fun brands to play with. So that's
awesome. Absolutely.
Which, along that line, what retail industries are you seeing students most excited about these days? You know, are there any particular verticals that get the most interest?
Well, I am somewhat biased because I oversee two different verticals that are retail. One's food, beverage, and consumer packaged goods, and one's athletic and outdoor. And so those are the ones that I'm most familiar with, just because those are the lanes that our students are focused on through our certificate programs. Athletic and outdoor has traditionally been the one that sees the most excitement. The center itself was started with a focus on the food, beverage, and goods industry because industry wanted a source of talent that had earn some skills and understanding of the industry coming out of college. There's a lot of people in the past that grew up through the grocery industry, didn't necessarily go to college. And so you need that diversity of workforce and leadership development. So PSU had this center and program. And so now I think we're seeing a little bit more of a balance between the two programs. We've worked really hard to position food, beverage, and consumer packaged goods as a really exciting, dynamic industry. We also have tremendous support from industry in terms of scholarships for our students. So we haven't seen that same level of scholarship support for the athletic and outdoor program. So, you know, sometimes that helps influence. And honestly, the skills are transferable because they're both consumer products. And, you know, how are you solving a problem for the consumer? So depending on, you know, what interests you and what the market is doing, I think both certificates position our students for success and give them skills that are transferable.
Well, that's great to hear. To hear that your students can have transferable skills, but I'm really curious, what specific retail industries are your students really excited about?
Athletic and outdoor, like the consumer products, that area, because we have a lot of students, it's part of like our location, right? In the Pacific Northwest, we have a lot of brands that are headquartered here, and we have these amazing recreational opportunities. So we have a lot of students who are either in, have, you know, grown up doing athletics or grown up in the outdoors and are like, I didn't even know I could get a job in that. You know, I thought you could only be a designer. And so I think there's a lot of students that are interested in that. And then, as we talk more about food, beverage, and goods and help students understand those opportunities, you know, food is such a big part of our culture. And, you know, you can make such a big impact on somebody's life just by what they're consuming, right? So people who really want to be involved in mission, purpose-driven organizations can find a lot of synergies with food, beverage, and consumer packaged goods companies. So I think there's excitement on both sides. Athletic and outdoor still is. And then I recently added the business blockchain program to the programs that I oversee. So now the center is uniquely positioned as the intersection of consumer products and technology. And I think that's another area where we're seeing a lot of excitement is like Web3, metaverse, like what is that all about and how that's connecting to retail, but transparency in the supply chain and sustainability. So I think that we have a pretty diverse student body. And so our goal is to offer different paths. So I think the technology is more an emerging one for sure. It's a newer program for us. athletic and outdoor is a strong one. And then I think food, beverage, and goods is kind of the third tranche, but is where we have been historically involved the most.
I'm curious, when we think about retail now encompasses, you know, everything from live stream shopping to e-commerce to mobile to of course brick and mortar. And we talk a lot with retail industry leaders here on Sparkplug who say that brick and mortar is alive and well.
Yep.
And so I'm curious, do you agree with this perspective?
I totally agree.
What conversations are you having around physical retail versus e-commerce? Or
I think you need both. I mean, I think that consumers are seeking really customized quality experiences where they feel valued and connected in store and online. And so brands need to be active in all those lanes or those channels and providing a consistent experience for their consumers and for their consumers to feel valued. And I think technology, whether it's in store or online, is enabling us to provide more customized experiences. So customers feel more valued, can feel like they have a unique experience. I think the physical store, I mean, I think people can do discovery online and in store, but I still think it's hard to replicate that social shopping experience for going out with friends or family and finding a cool store, a cool product, or a cool experience. Like, it's hard to do that online. Like, you can share reviews online. You can like, hey, I like this, but it's just not the same as like, we went into the store and had this experience. And I think we're still seeing a lot of brands invest in new retail experiences and stores and trying to figure out new and innovative ways to create a meaningful experience for their consumers. So that indicates to me that brick and mortar is not going away. It's just going to change. And I think we need to offer our customers different ways to, you know, pick up their products, either curbside, in-store, at home, right, whatever, to really finish that amazing experience and to keep them coming back.
I totally agree. It's going to be fun to see what those innovations and shifts really land on in the next couple of years. So you first joined PSU as the Director of Athletic and Outdoor Industry Program. And as we mentioned earlier, you spearheaded the first comprehensive market study in this industry. What first drew you to the A&O industry?
Oh my gosh. Well, honestly, in my childhood days, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. I let my family down incredibly. Didn't happen. My dad mainly. But I always just had, I grew up in a small rural part of Oregon. I grew up in Cannon Beach. And there are limited activities, beautiful place, but limited activities as a young person. And so I sought out sports as a way to further challenge myself, develop new skills, potentially get scholarship dollars to go to college, and keep out of trouble too, honestly, right? So I have always, since then, it's always been an important part of my life for my mental health, my well-being. It's taught me leadership, teamwork, collaboration, how to push yourself, how to never give up, have a positive attitude, the importance of communication. Like, I just think those are lifelong skills that have served me well. And I've always been active, doing something. I'm not like an Iron Man athlete. No, I don't do marathons and that stuff, but I always make sure that I have some activity. I'm exercising 3 to 5 times a week just because it's important and I want to set a role model for other people. And it's good for my health.
That makes sense with me. I also get outdoors. I do some athletics, but I don't run marathons.
Yeah. Okay. Thank goodness. I was like, oh no, are we?
No, not at all.
I admire people that do. Don't get me wrong. It's just that I have not, that's not been one of my goals.
Well, I know during the pandemic, some segments of the athletic industry, like Peloton bikes and indoor gyms, really, really hit the roof. And then, of course, they came down afterwards. Things have shifted back and forth during the pandemic and post-pandemic in terms of athletics and outdoors. So could you give us a thumbnail sketch of what the athletics industry is looking like today post-pandemic?
Thankfully, Sport Oregon really recently just published a report for the state of Oregon called State of Sport. And it's more inclusive than the work that I did when I was at formerly PDC, Prosper Portland Now, which really looked at the brands making and producing the whole ecosystem around that, because Sport Oregon now includes like the recreational activities, sporting events and stuff, which is also a really important part of the economy. And it's showing tremendous growth. They said there's about 51, the industry employs about 51,000 jobs in the region. And with Eugene and Bend being a significant part of that with the Portland region. And it's about $29 billion in direct and indirect and induced economic outputs for the region. So that shows it's a tremendous important industry for the state and the region. And it grew by 56% in the Portland region compared to 21% of other industries. And that was between 2010 and 2019. So that shows that there is growth. We're seeing more brands move here. It has a significant amount of tax revenues to the state that funds a lot of products and services. It's about $976 million. So we've seen continued growth of that industry in Oregon, even despite COVID and, you know, the supply chain and labor shortages that a lot of brands were dealing with.
You know, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and turn attention to some timely aspects of today's retail industry: technology, sustainability, and loyalty. And let's start with technology.
Yeah.
As retailers have quickly adopted new technologies, you know, since the onset of the pandemic, especially, what have been some of the biggest benefits to the retail sector to come out of the past 2 years?
Yeah, I think I touched on this earlier, but the customization piece is really important, right? And I think whether it's, you know, you're walking through a store and you're getting ads about a certain product that you're walking by, right? They're like, hey, you can get this. This is at the reduced price today. Or, you know, when I'm online and something pops up online that I looked at 2 weeks ago, like, hey, this has been reduced. I mean, being able to do those targeted ads and connect to me, like, oh my God, I didn't even know you were. Part of it's like, oh my God, you knew I was looking at that. And part of me is like, isn't that amazing that we have that data that tells that. So I think that's one piece. I think also just like the loyalty programs, like the fact that people know what I like to buy and where I like to buy it. And then I get rewards for that, that can be like, I think like Fred Meyer fuel points, like that's huge. I love that. And it's like, I get how much off today? This is great. But I think those things keep us coming back. So I think technology and the data analytics that brands are collecting about their consumers could be kind of scary on one side, but amazing on the other, because they can further customize that consumer's experience in terms of, and also identify, you know, what products they should be making or revisions to existing products, how and where they want to shop and when they want to shop. So I think that's really important. This also ties into pickup and, you know, how customers want to collect their purchase after they, you know, do they want to lug it home or have it meet them on the doorstep? And then I think the another part is just like artificial intelligence and how that, and that does tie into some of these other, I mean, it's technology too, and how that is informing storytelling and consumer engagement. And you look at augmented reality and the fact that, you know, we have retailers opening stores in the metaverse, right? Like physical, they're buying real estate in the metaverse for a store. And it's just, so I think it's really exciting. I think sometimes it can be kind of overwhelming too, to know where, you know, what trend is going to stick. And I'm sure brands feel the same way. So really relying on the technology and the data that technology is giving you to inform your strategic decisions and investments.
Well, I know earlier you mentioned sustainability as something that's been important in your career as well. How has technology helped the industry become more sustainable?
I think the sustainability piece is, I think technology is helping companies be smarter about the materials they're purchasing, the forecasting, so that they're ordering, not over ordering, although COVID's created a lot of disruptions in the supply chain. So maybe not so much, but I think there have been efficiencies in product manufacturing. So through technology, they're able to better utilize the raw materials that they have more efficiently. So there's less waste. I think we're going to get better at forecasting products based on demand so that there's less inventory and we're being more efficient. So there's not a lot of waste of products that aren't purchased. Packaging, there's been tremendous innovations in the packaging, not only like what size the package is that houses it, so it's more compactable, it costs less to ship, it takes less fuel to get it somewhere, but also the materials of the packaging. And I think there's been some amazing efforts, like the Outdoor Industry Association with their Higindex. Those are tools that they've developed so that they're industry-facing, not consumer-facing. So brands can make informed choices about the products and materials they're using so that they can be more sustainable and have less impact on the environment. So I think all that's really exciting. And then FDRA, the Footwear Distributors Retailers Association, just they're doing an event on another, like a tool to assess sustainability of footwear materials. So I think more and more different groups are trying to figure out, like, how do we measure it so that we're making more informed decisions that have less impact on the environment? And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah. Do you actually think that we've seen a net gain in sustainability over the last few years? Because I keep hearing it more, but do you think that's actually come out in the reality of the situation for retail products in the supply chain?
What do you mean by net gain?
Meaning that if you look at 5 years ago or even 10 years ago, sustainability was not as much of a watchword. And now it is more of a lot of language around it. But do you think anything's changed, just to be blunt?
Absolutely. I do think that there have been changes. I think positive changes in people trying to be more accountable and map out their supply chains and really better understand where all their materials are coming from so that they are accountable for both the material sourcing, but also the social, the people part of who's involved in the production process. At the same time, I think there's been a really negative part where there's been a lot of greenwashing. So there have been so much terminology around whether we're green or sustainable and not really a clear definition of what that means. And so I think we've also alienated some people in that process who were like, well, you're not really sustainable. You're just saying that. And so I think there's been positive steps forward. And I've also think there's been some positive steps backward because some people have kind of abused that terminology and have not been transparent about being sustainable. And I still think we're challenged with like whether people are really voting with their pocketbooks, you know, because more sustainable products tend to be more expensive. And right now we're in an economy with inflation. People are concerned about, you know, what the future is going to look like. Are they going to have a job? And so disposable income is not going as far. And so I think the research shows that a lot of times people are going with the more affordable option, maybe not the most sustainable option.
That's definitely going to be an interesting balance for brands to strike along with consumers. You know, I was going to ask kind of the question of which industries do you see sustainability being the most responsive to shoppers' preferences for sustainable goods?
Gosh, I think that's hard to say. I think I am most aware of, like, I think we've seen a lot in the food beverage goods space, right? If you think about growing things locally, making like that whole purchase the locally stuff. So I think there, and more people are seeking that that transparency in the supply chain to know what they're getting, why they're getting it. And for health and safety reasons, it's important. So I think the sustainability piece has come through some of those health and safety so that people can see more what's happening in the supply chain, and we'll continue to see that evolve. And we're fortunate in that we have agriculture and food manufacturing as an important industry for the Portland region and the state. I also think there's been progress in athletic and outdoor. I think there's just more companies seeking to make progress in being more sustainable. And it may not be across all fronts, but it may be just on their packaging, or it may be where they're sourcing some of their materials. They're trying to bring some onshore, although we have a long way to go there. But I think, and part of that's just me being more focused on those two industries, but I would say those two are the ones where I think we've seen the most. Another area is probably like wood products industry. I think there's been a real focus on sustainability there, like reharvesting and then figuring out different ways to repurpose wood that's already been used, reclaimed wood. So I think that's another probably industry that I would say has been important. And there's probably others that I'm missing right now.
Which is great. It means there's a lot of industries making an effort and move towards that. So that's been.
Yeah.
Our sponsoring company, Snowshoe, provides loyalty technology to brick and mortar retailers across the country. And we'd love to hear your perspective on the importance of retail loyalty today.
So I think this ties back to some stuff that we've talked about earlier today, but customers wanting to feel valued and connected by the companies that they do business with or that they purchase from. And so I think those loyalty programs are definitely a way to do that. It allows customization. It allows, it makes you feel like you're getting something in addition to the product that you purchased at that particular store. And so I think that that reinforces a positive customer experience, which is then going to encourage someone to go back to that particular store or business. So, and I think more companies today are looking at implementing those programs if they haven't already to develop that connection with their customers.
That's fantastic to hear. I'm just curious, what stores do you actually feel personally connected to, either through a loyalty program or stores that you like to go to? Could you just tell us about some of your favorite retail experiences?
So first of all, I am not a big shopper. I'll just put that out there, which is, you know, awkward that I'm in retail, but I'm not. But I will say that Amazon Prime, our family does a lot of Amazon Prime shopping. And, you know, the loyalty there is that, you know, the free shipping option. And I know there's some people that are Amazon Prime haters, and I understand that. I totally get it. There's different sides. I really like Dutch Bros. They're a company that was started in Grants Pass. I get like, I have the app and I get a free drink on my birthday. They, you know, when I walk up and order the drink or drive up and don't know what I want, they will walk me through and customize the process. I get stickers and I earn points for a free drink, which is usually for my kids, not for me. But I think they do a really good job of that. I think like Next Adventure in Portland is another one. Great. They're an outdoor supplier, and you get points for, like, we'll turn in some, you know, gear that's still good, but we're not using anymore. And so you get points to go towards another purchase, and, you know, kind of like a punch card, if you will. And I think, so those are some of the local businesses that we work with. And I mentioned Fred Meyer. They're also a Portland headquartered company. And I really appreciate the coupons we get from them based on our purchases. I appreciate the fuel points. So, and I know there's a lot of other companies doing really interesting things, but those are the ones that are top of mind.
Thank you for sharing those. Really appreciate it. So if we looked out 5 to 10 years into the future, where do you see the future of retail? Is this going to be an ultimate merger of kind of metaverse and brick and mortar, or where's the retail going?
I think you're going to see a little bit of everything, honestly. I think you're going to see more virtual brought into the physical storefront or physical store space so that people can, you know, try on things virtually. They can see how it might be. You might wear something in different environments, right? What it might look like. Here's this outfit that you're wearing right now with different accessories or whatever. I think that the connection to the consumer using technology, whether it's the virtual experience in the store or at home, I think the more that we're creating a unique experience for the consumer where they feel connected, valued, and I think that's another area where brands are going to continue to grow and evolve. And then I still think that we're going to see more of an effort. I was saying that there, I think there's a gap between that physical in-store social experience. I think we're going to see something more like that. What does that social shopping experience look like online? You know, do you do it through Zoom? Is somebody, you know, and in some cases, like people are FaceTiming through the store, right? Like, hey, what do you think about this product? Right. So there, it's kind of, but I think it might become more efficient like that. I think that storefronts are probably the physical space that stores are going to occupy is going to be smaller, which we're seeing already, but smaller with a more limited collection where you can try on. They'll have one of every size or whatever, so you can try it on. Yes, I want this, ship it. And then more back space so that people can, they have the inventory so they can quickly get it to people, because that convenience factor and our expectation that I want it now is seems like it's ever increasing to get it immediately. And so I think smaller actual storefronts with probably more, you know, distribution space. And then I think we'll also be more efficient in planning and ordering products so that we don't have vast inventories of product that cost time and money and are bad for the environment.
Right. The way that we distinguish today between e-commerce and metaverse and mobile and brick and mortar, I think is kind of an artifact of our moment in time. Much like, you know, back in the 90s, we said, well, there's the website and then there's the store. And now any store that doesn't have a website doesn't really exist. You know, you want to look it up on your way there, or you are actually looking at product before you get to the store. And by the same token, when, you know, connected point of sale systems like Square and Clover came in, they were new and unique, and now they're just assumed. So what the picture you're painting is that a lot of these technologies that we think are kind of divergent from retail are actually going to be organically integrated. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you said it so much more articulately than I did. I can't even talk today. That was a beautiful way of describing it. Yes, what you said.
Thanks. I've been talking to a lot of retail leaders, and I'm starting to get the picture of the future here.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, it's a final question, one that we really enjoy just to kind of get back to you as an individual. You know, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be remembered for?
I mean, that's an overwhelming question, honestly, because I've embarrassingly never really thought of it. I should be thinking about it all the time, but I've always wanted to do something to have a positive impact. And that positive impact has changed through my career. I was in politics in DC for many years. I worked with small businesses, but making a difference, being a critical part of my job, has always been important. And through that, setting an example for female leaders, my kids, I'm a mom of two teenagers. And so it's really important to me that my legacy to them is setting a good example and setting them up for success. I hopefully, whatever that looks like to them. And then just being really known as a go-getter, somebody who delivers on time, who's authentic, kind, honest, and collaborative. I like to beg forgiveness, not ask permission. But I really hope that I make a positive impact and deliver on whatever particular project I'm working on so that it benefits the community and the stakeholders.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it sounds like you're well on your way to delivering on that hope. So
thank you.
Well, thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I really appreciate the thoughtfulness of the questions and the opportunity to share some of my insights. And thanks for provoking me to think a little bit more about future and how I can contribute and make a difference and the future of retail. I really appreciate it.
Spark Plug is a wholly owned property of Snowshoe, copyright 2022-2023, Spark Plug Media.